as you can see, today we are going to be doing things a little bit different. We did have a mission trip to the country of Guatemala, and the team that we had, we went down there and we did some ministry. We went down and did some Bible clubs, and so as you're going to find out, things didn't necessarily go the way that we had initially planned. And so any good plan is only as good as how often it changes. And so I think that the group experienced some of that and some of the shuffling and some of the things that went on in the very beginning. And I think it was really good for them. And I think that the work that they did really touched a lot of lives. Just to kind of give you a little bit of an understanding is that I know that that Brian and Caden, for the first time, taught Bible lessons. And man, how awesome is that? The first time you teach anybody is going into a foreign country to where you don't speak the language and you're speaking through a translator. Now, most of you here that's done any teaching probably knows that it's difficult enough just to teach in your own language. But just imagine what it's like to go down and teach and then have somebody translating for you and then keeping your mind straight enough to continue with the conversation. And I have to say this, they did an excellent job. And as a result of their faithfulness to doing the work of the ministry, there were some children that came to faith in Jesus Christ on the day that they taught their first lesson.
Cool.
How awesome is that?
Yep.
You know, some of the biggest decisions that you've probably heard it said this way. I know James has said it, but some of the biggest decisions I know he's made, some of the biggest decisions that I've made and many other people have made as far as their role in ministry and in the work that God's called them to has been made on mission trips. Because there's something about going to a foreign country, seeing different people, seeing people, because we, honestly, we live in a bubble. And when we see people who also need the same things that we need, and they also need Jesus, just like we need Jesus. And sometimes it's hard to contextualize exactly how that looked, exactly what that means, until you see with your own eyes just how the God that saved you can save them too. Because guess what? God loves the world. God loves everyone. And so what we're going to do is we're going to do a series of interviews. Now, I've never been a part of a service like this before. And I'm sure that most of you sitting here today have not been a part of a service such as this. But we're going to give it a try. So if it goes bad, don't blame me. Right? All right. So I'm going to go ahead and ask Brian, if you would, to go ahead and come up here. And so I tell you, you know that you've arrived on the mission field when you have a bus driver tell you that, listen, man, there's no place to pull over. So you may just have to go in the street.
Yep.
You know that you're in a foreign country when that kind of conversation happens. And so I think that we experience some interesting things. Everyone has issues on mission trips. I'm not going to go into any major details. You know, even James, I've been on mission trip with James, and he himself had some hot dog issues that led to some other issues. And so those things will remain unsaid. And so the same goes for the mission trip. You know, you get outside your comfort zone, your nerves are getting the best of you, you're nervous, you got all this stuff, there's you know, some of the food's different, the people are different, and so things are just bound to happen. So I know we give people a hard time about things, but it's all in good humor. And so we want to keep our spirits as high as possible, because it's easy to let those things become hindrances to the work that we're actually called to do. So I'm going to give you this microphone. And basically what I've done is I've kind of prepared some questions. Some of this stuff have come from some of the things that you've said. And some of it has come from some things that you had wrote out. And so some things you may not have heard before. And so That'll be awesome. All right, so when you got to Guatemala, how did the standard of living for the Guatemalans hit you as soon as you arrived on the field?
When I first got off the plane and got to the airport, I didn't sense a whole lot different. Definitely really fast-paced. I mean, you got people coming up trying to take your bags from you and trying to load up and help you out, but and then you realize that they're only doing it to try and get that extra 50 cents.
And they made it sound like that they were, with Bob, and, they're grabbing the bags or whatever, so you're kind of there, and you're like, man, I don't have any idea what we're doing, yep. So, yeah.
So, once we started pulling off, going through the city, I was in amazement at just sightseeing. I mean, I was at that point, I kind of felt like the tourist, just sightseeing. But you get looking around, and just the poverty, even in the city, it's just slums. I mean, there's really no words that can really explain what you actually see.
So tell us a little bit of the difference between what you saw in the city versus when you got out into and headed out into the remote villages.
Yeah, remote villages, dirt roads and huts, one room, dirt floor. The city is what you would expect going through a city. I mean, several buildings, but everything's tin roof. Just people everywhere. The driving, I wouldn't be able to do it. So they definitely don't follow stop signs.
You'd be getting tickets, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
Well, we went on the trip, and James, he did a lot of the driving the first time we went. And so I think that if James can do it, you're an officer of the law, so I have faith in you.
I guess. Be different.
Yeah, awesome. So when you look at, obviously, you see the physical felt needs of the people. But how does meeting the felt need compare to their need for spiritual things?
Yeah, you definitely get emotions get the best of you when you're out there and you see everything firsthand. Like I said, seeing it on TV doesn't put words into actually seeing it firsthand. And a lot of times you get out there and your emotions get the best of you and you get teary-eyed. I mean, you don't want to see anyone living in those kind of conditions. And you got to kind of sit back and realize while we're there, and it's to spread the gospel. And so you try to build this connection where, okay, maybe I can get your trust by helping you out with a felt need, and in turn you'll trust me to speak to you and let me share what Jesus has to say.
Absolutely, because, I mean, it is true. You help somebody physically go through, or you help them with some physical things, and I think that really gives you a window into speaking into their spiritual life. And so I think that is a good way to do it, because, sometimes, people, especially when you're a white man and you show up in a remote village where there's no white people, people are a little skeptical. And so I think that helping them really gives a way to be able to minister the gospel to those individuals. And so when you look at all the things that they have versus the things that you have here at home, has it affected the way that you treat your stuff here in America?
It does. I mean, I'm definitely a lot more grateful. At the same time, I'm kind of guilty. Why did God choose me to be born and raised in America when you go to a foreign country and you see what kind of conditions they're living in? It makes me want to, take what I do have and use it to help spread the word. I mean, like I said, I got internet stuff they don't have in Guatemala for the most part, so I mean, maybe I can use the internet to reach people. And I have a vehicle, I have transportation where I can get around and go from city to city where, especially in remote villages, they don't know anything else. I mean, they know their village. They don't have the money to get out and travel and go to the city most of the time. So they're definitely in a bubble as far as their village is concerned. It's definitely changed the way I feel about my family. Just seeing how in a village you have men that go out from sun up to sundown working and leaving behind, four or five kids that the oldest might be like 10 years old and they're taking care of a 2-year-old, the parents are definitely sacrificing. And as far as a village, they definitely help each other out. You can definitely see that the village, they unite because it's all about survival out there.
Right. So how has that shaped your view of what a missionary does on the field?
It's definitely eye-opening. There's a lot of hard work that gets put into as far as a missionary. I mean, they have to sacrifice a lot just to go out there. I mean, You know, Bob and Tessa, they have several kids, and to take your kids out of America and what America has to offer and to raise them in Guatemala, it's definitely a sacrifice.
Right.
And, I mean, the kids are definitely involved, too.
Yeah, that's true. This is what you had said in some of the stuff that you had prepared. If everyone had the mindset of, well, of this, of, well, someone will go and spread the gospel, but it's not for me, then who would end up doing the work? And so, and I think that's a really good question. And so take just a second and explain what you've concluded regarding that way of thinking.
Yeah, because, I mean, I never thought mission trips were my thing. I didn't know anything about them until I went to Guatemala. And this is my first one. And looking at what Bob and Tessa have to go through on a daily basis, there's definitely sacrifice, like I said. So to have that mindset of, well, mission field is not for me, if everyone has that mindset, then in the end, who will go? There's a lot of people in the world that has to be reached to, and there's not enough people out there spreading the word.
Absolutely. So in light of the trip, how will your life be different? And when you give this answer about how your life's different, kind of give some advice to everyone here on you know, regarding missions and what you've discovered.
I said, I personally had to self-evaluate and realize, you know, my wife deserves more respect than I've given her. Just seeing how they are in the village and all. But like I said, no words can explain it. The best advice I can give is get out there and go. I mean, if you have to sacrifice a family vacation for a week, go. I mean, at least go on one, because it would definitely change your outlook on the way we live compared to the rest of the world. Like I said, I kind of feel guilty for being raised in America, and God provided me other, you know, a lot of things. But, I mean, you got kids that don't know any different, so why are they suffering?
Absolutely. So. All right, well, that's all I've got for Brian. And I think that God really did a lot of good things in Brian's life on this trip. And, you know, I think that there's a lot more going on than we could communicate up here. There's only so much you could say. But just having been with Brian over the course of the week and hearing his heart and hearing how God is shaping him, dude, I can't wait to see what God has for you and your family. Man, it's exciting. And so give Brian a hand. All right. Well, at this time, I'm going to ask Brian's lovely bride to come up here and share with us. So let me give you that. So I think one of the things you don't know about Kadem is that Kadem is all about getting the full experience. And so today we are giving her the full experience of talking to you guys. So I know that things look a lot different up here, don't they?
Yeah.
It's the same thing when you go to a foreign country. Things look a lot different than, you know, what you have in your mind, and you get down there and it's like, okay. But then for a moment you go, I want the full experience. And so what we ended up doing is that I talked to Bob, and we talked to some people, and so we took Kadem out to this remote village. It was about a two-hour drive away from the city, and we left her there for 2 days. So tell us a little bit about how that worked out for you.
That's what I wanted to do, but they wouldn't let me do it.
Okay, so the truth comes out. So Kadem she wanted the full experience, but I wouldn't let her go out there and experience the wilderness for what it is. And so we had a lot of fun with Kadem. Kadem was definitely fun on this trip for sure. And so anyways, let's get to kind of what we're really going to talk about today. What really opened your eyes on this mission trip?
Well, the first thing that touched me was the poverty. I have such a soft heart, so of course I was just crying at the first sight of anything sad, like seeing the kids and just the need for the gospel. They have a lot of Catholic churches around there, and Presbyterian was the other
Pentecostal.
Church? Pentecostal was the other church that we've seen around there. And so obviously there is a spiritual need, but are they getting the right spiritual need? Are they hearing the right need? So that was the first thing that really just struck me.
Yeah. So what would you say the overall mood of the people was when you first come in contact with them?
They were all happy. I mean, for the most part, I mean, they were all smiling and grateful. We passed out rice and tracts, and they were all, you know, they all pretty much said thank you, and they were smiling. And the kids, they were all smiling. They had, like, a sadness in their eyes, but they were smiling. And it's like they didn't know any difference. I mean, they don't know what, like, America has or what even the city has, really and truly. I mean, they were grateful to be living, so...
Yeah, I think there's a lot of, you know, you see them and they seem happy and things like that, you know. But at the end of the day, you know, those people that live in those countries, and again, you know, this could be you and I. They have the same struggles that we have. When they hurt, we also hurt. When they're hungry, you know, we get hungry too. And so when you look at the mood, sometimes, you know, they approach life a lot different than what we approach life. And so you really see that once you get outside of the borders and the walls of this country, that people do approach things a lot different. So let me ask you this. Would you say that being a missionary is a cakewalk compared to what goes on in pulling off a service like we have today?
Oh, being a missionary would be hard, but I definitely would do it. I've already said that, you know, if me and my husband got called to be missionaries, I would go. But of course, I need to follow in my husband's footsteps. So it's definitely a lot of work. We got to see what Bob and Tessa had to do. And I mean, from planning what we're going to do that day to planning according to how traffic's going to be in Guatemala through protest, you know, are we going to get stuck in the bad part of town because we're going to hit a protest and not be able to get home that night? And, you know, planning on what we're going to do that day, it's just Bob always seems to have been making schedules, and like it was kind of hard to communicate with him a little bit because he has so much going on. But in that sense, you could see the heart that he had. He wanted to make sure everyone had a chance to experience what, you know, he does on a daily basis.
Yeah, being a missionary is hard work, and anybody that's done any ministry here in the States, you know that it takes a lot of sacrifice. It takes a lot of doing things that you don't necessarily always want to do. Because every one of us are busy. We have lives, we have family, and we need to take care of all those needs. When you get to the mission field, do you think that those things are any easier than they're here in the States? Absolutely not. You know, you have a language barrier, and in a lot of cases, even though a missionary speaks the language, it's still different. And so it is hard to adapt to a total different culture. And so when you look at somebody that is on the mission field, you know, they're earning their salt for sure. You know, they're really working hard. And, you know, and I know that you hear stories of missionaries and there's a lot of opportunity for missionaries not to do a whole lot of work. But when you're serious about getting the gospel to people, like whether it be children, whether it be adults or whoever it may be, you're going to find that it is a lot of work to do that. And I think Kate really got a chance to see that on the trip. So, in the past, has missions been a priority for you as far as giving and going?
No. It's actually, that's what I've been very guilty of, and this trip has shown me that. And now I'm going to get teary-eyed. I have been so guilty of, like, I can read it in the Bible. I can hear James preach about it, how important it is to give and to go on mission trips. And I've been so guilty of overlooking it. And the trip showed me how important it is to not only go, which I know is so hard, to be able to, like, leave my daughter for a week was so hard. Like, up until, like, last week of the trip, I was like, do I really want to leave her? Maybe I should just stay with her. She needs me. Brian can go. But, and, like, also leaving my job, it was so hard, but it was so worth it, so rewarding. And not only that is, if I couldn't go, now I know that I need to give. Because those people, like Bob and Tessa and all the other missionaries we support, they're relying on us to give to them, to help them spread the word. And I never realized that until I actually seen the field. And it's so easy to listen to, like, James preach on it or read the Bible about it and be like, yeah, I suppose I'm supposed to be giving to missions. But, like, after seeing it, it's like, now I know what that money is going toward. Like, now I know that I can sacrifice something at home that, you know, people over here don't have, that, I mean, and they need to hear the word. And by giving to missions, they're hearing that word through whether it be Bob and Tessa or any other of the missionaries that we're supporting.
That's yeah. the word I'm looking for. Absolutely. So has your plan changed?
Yeah, definitely. I will definitely be going and giving, and then if God calls me and Brian to go, I'll be in a remote village somewhere living.
Yeah, and that's exactly what you had said. You know, you had said that not only will I go on a short-term mission trip or mission trips, but you'd be open to other things. And I think you mentioned that a minute ago. And so I think what's interesting for you guys to hear is that what constitutes a call to ministry, to missions, to any of it? Well, I think that, you know, it takes some type of confirmation, you know, seeing from God's word, you know. And so I think that on this trip, to some level, Kadem has received some sort of peace about what's going on in the world and about how God could use her for that, even her family. You know, obviously, you know, if God calls, then, you know, Kadem would respond to that. But the next step of that would be opportunity. You know, would God give them an opportunity to serve? Now, I believe that God's going to give them opportunity to serve right here at Connect Church. But I also believe that if they stay faithful to that, then God could use them anywhere in this world to proclaim the message of Jesus Christ. And that's what we all need to be about. So what constitutes a call in your life? And I think Kadem would tell you that the sky didn't open, angels didn't sing, you know, she did not see God in His glory. She just simply responded to what God said to do, and that's to be faithful to His word, look on the fields that they're ripe with harvest, and she has done that. And I think that God can use that tremendously. Thank you so much, Kadem. All right. I'm going to ask Linda if she would to head on up this way. I'll hand you that. So, I do want to make an announcement just so everybody knows. Whatever happens, regardless of what she says, do not give her Benadryl.
I will sleep and snore all night long.
And they say that confession is good for the soul. Amen. So, yeah, so, you know, the ladies, I just heard stories, you know, about the things coming out of that room. And so you'll have to ask them about all that, you know. It didn't disturb me. We'll get to that later.
Say, I competed with Jody, and he beat me.
Hey, let's not spill all the goods. All right. So, I think it was awesome for you being on this trip. And I think that, you know, a lot of people have a misconception about, you know, you being Hispanic and speaking the language, and that things would be a whole lot easier in those scenarios. And so I think that through this trip, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that you could see a difference between hearing about the mission and physically seeing the mission with your own eyes. So tell us a little bit about how that affected you.
It was tough. I broke down a couple of times. I have... Come on, can you hear me now?
No, just make sure it's on.
It was very, very tough. Seeing the kids, how they live. You see they're happy, and they can come to you, and they will ask you questions. I mean, it was easy for me to talk to them, but to see, really, I even compare the poor kids in Puerto Rico with the kids in Guatemala, and it is tough. I mean, it's things that you will not imagine, and it really touched me. I saw a kid with cerebral palsy, which most of you know that my grandson has cerebral palsy, but this, I start talking to the mom, and the kid was born at 7 months, and at 7 months, he was only 2 pounds when he was born. And I am blessed that I have all these medical advancements here in the U.S., and she don't have that. They don't even get a doctor. The first day I spent translating for a doctor for another mission that was there, And it was terrible. You see all these kids, they're healthy because they have all the vegetables that they farm and so on. But it was very, very tough. Like 95% of them have head lice. And it was very, very, very touching for me to know that I am here in the States and they are so far away and so poor. And I have all these blessings, all this. We have so much. And they have very little. And I can say that 80% of the vegetables or all the things that they farm come here to the United States. Mm-hmm. So we eat because of them. And they are dying over there because they don't have no food.
Yeah, it's very interesting to see the difference in what the situation in the village, you know, and even the inner city is a lot different than going out to the villages. But when you look at the spiritual condition of the people, now it's easy to get caught up into the physical aspect of all of it because that's what you noticeably see. But when you look at the spiritual condition of the people, what are some things that through their need for the gospel, what would you say that God is teaching you about your responsibility in giving them that message?
Because I speak Spanish and I am in here in the United States, like I ask myself, God, Linda, what are you doing here? Why you're not there? You probably can reach them better. You can probably help those kids in a better way than anybody else can probably do. I mean, don't get me wrong, Tessa and Bob are doing a wonderful job over there. But by me speaking the language and knowing that I have so much and that I can help, it just make me think, what are you doing? Are you are in the right place?
Yeah. So, obviously, you know, we talk about the spiritual need of the gospel. But there's also a fight that we go through as well. And I mentioned, you know, about, you know, your heritage. And so you have an understanding that things would just be easier. But I think that everyone goes through some type of spiritual warfare and some things that we struggle with. Because, you know, even from the physical condition, God can use those things to teach you about spiritual aspects of life and things in general. Like when we went through the market.
They were walking through the market, and I was running through the market because the smell. I have a very sensitive nose, and everything is clutching. You have the meat hanging and the flies around the meat and all the raw products, and oh, horrible. And I'm holding my breath, and it's like, if we don't hurry up, I'm going to faint in here.
And so I also think that, you know, that through that, you know, I would, you know, you were a trooper. Because she didn't complain, you know, when we were going to do it. But I think that, you know, that sometimes, you know, it's like someone's telling you, okay, this is what I need you to do. And sometimes that's not always easy, is it?
I got mad at him the first day. We are in this gated community, and Bob said, well, it's safe to walk around. And I'm carrying my phone, and Ashley's carrying her phone with my battery charger. And he's like, well, why are you taking all this? They said, well, it's safe to walk around here. We are in a gated community. Duh, I speak Spanish. I can defend myself. And he's like, let's not take that. And it's like, and I'm going with you girls. Like, oh, great. Why he got up and said, you know what? It's like smack back in the head. God is telling me, Linda, he's the leader. Go ahead and follow him. Just do what he says. Like, okay.
And I think those are good lessons because you don't realize if you're actually willing to submit to someone until you disagree with the decision that's being made. And so, man, I tell you, Linda was a trooper, and you know, and she just, you know, she got it. And so she says she got mad at me, but I didn't really know it. You know, so thanks for sharing. Now I feel great.
And I didn't complain. There was a kid, so when I was working with the doctor, the kids have these rubber boots, and they have to take them off because I have to check their height and their weight. Man, when they took out those boots, they didn't have socks, and their feet were all sweaty, dirty with mud, and with the mud, there's some, when you're walking around the village, you'll see that the sewer goes through the same.
Would you care to elaborate on that more? I'm kidding. So real quick.
So it was bad, and I did it. It was about 300 kids, and it was bad.
So and take 15 seconds and tell them what advice would you give to these our members out here about missions and going on mission trips. What advice would you give them?
Definitely go on one, because it will open your eyes. Whatever you see on the TV and whatever I am expressing is not enough. You will not understand how they live and how much they need you. They need your help until you go. And if you can sacrifice, let's say, a pizza night and give those $20 or $25 to a missioner, go ahead and do it, because they really need it. It will make so much difference to them.
All right. Thank you so much, Linda. Man, I tell you, you know, I really believe that lives are changed on this trip. And I know it's hard. You sit here and you listen, but God can use these things to do a work in your heart. And it will affect what you do right here in your own context. And you almost can't even help but to share what Jesus Christ has done for you, because you know what? He's done a lot for you. He has blessed you beyond what you can fathom. A bad day for you is probably one of the best days for a lot of the world. And when you think you're having a bad day, guess what? Somebody's got it way worse than you, because it's not that bad. It's great. I'm glad. I can't tell you how I feel about it. It's like I can't express it into words. You know, being with these guys and getting to know all of the people on this trip, because when you get in the trench with somebody else, that bond takes place. You can't explain it. You just can't explain it. You have to experience it. That's awesome. So I'm going to ask Santa Claus if he'd come on up.
Santa Claus.
This is the second nickname I've had.
So, Santa, apparently you sleep really well 364 days out of the year.
I believe they're making this up. I didn't hear anything.
So, is those of you that are kind of wondering what was going on, you know, well, I know that for the first 2 days that we were there, I didn't sleep at all, you know, because
he was excited. That's all it was.
Jody kept us awake. And then I realized that two more days had passed, and I realized that everybody in the house had been woken up because of some of the sounds coming out of this room. And he was in there by himself.
And you know, so you they know call me Oso.
Everybody's Bear. in the separate rooms, and you're being woken up by, you know, like a grizzly bear sound. It made sense to what happened in 2014 when we went, and Jody said, "Hey, listen, guys, I'm going to sleep on the couch. Just trust me." And I was like, what in the world? I get it. So anyway.
You're welcome.
It's all fun, right? We won't share all the secrets, right?
No.
There's not really any more secrets. I'm kidding. So thinking about the spiritual state of most of the world, how evangelized would you say the country of Guatemala is?
Not at all. It's a great lack of the true gospel. I knew from 2014 what was going to really grab hold of the other four that's been there for the first time, which was that felt need, that compassion for the poverty and for the people having nothing. I didn't really say anything at the beginning when we got there, because I just wanted them to experience. But I know Ashley, when I did, we asked her, so what do you think, when we hit the airport there? It don't look any different, And so I just kind of stopped it right there and just let them see for themselves. which it, you know, grabbed me the same way the first time. But knowing that, this time when I got there, you know, I knew it was about that spiritual need, not that felt need that we were there to accomplish.
Yeah, so give me your main thoughts about the importance of missions, specifically in the context of the work going on in Guatemala. Just how important is what Bob and Tess are doing? Speak to that for a few minutes.
Well, what they are doing is an awesome thing. You know, you have people who, I mean, those are some of the nicest people you ever meet. And to know that and to see them and to know that if they're not reached, you know, we know what their eternal destination is going to be. And to have someone like Bob and Tessa out there sacrificing everything they have, their time, you know, getting outside that comfort zone, leaving everything they've ever known here in the States and going out and reaching these people, it's an awesome thing. You know, it's like Michael was saying, there's a lot of things you just can't really put into words. But, you know, I definitely applaud them, you know, for what they're doing.
Yeah, they are doing a lot of things, and I know it's tough, you know, and I think that you know, there's so much stuff that you could do in Guatemala. And so one man can only do so much. And so I think that Jody has seen this, but how important do you think that it is for especially anybody that's church planter, missionary church planter, that kind of thing, how important is it for that person to find what the Bible calls the man of peace? And you can read about that like Mark 6 or whatnot. How important is it to find that individual in a village or in a town?
It's it's extremely important. You know, we read about it in the Bible, about that man of peace, and it's that man of peace who's really going to reach that community. You know, Bob and Tessa can put forth a great effort, which they do, excuse me, you know, they do every day. But, you know, it's definitely that man of peace that's going to be able to get into the villages, you know, where he lives. He's there with them every day. They have trust in him, you know, and, you know, he's that example. They're going to listen and, you know, take heed to what he's doing, what he's saying. So it's extremely important to find that man of peace.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's important here in the States to find that person that's kind of a key to reaching those other people. I think, you know, one of them would be Abel that you guys had seen. And so I think he's key to reaching the people with the gospel. And so every night we had spent time doing some debriefing, and we would talk, and, you know, sometimes we talked a whole lot longer than I ever intended to. You know, but the stuff that you guys were giving back and the questions that you were asking were awesome questions. And so, but during one of our debriefs in the evening, you had mentioned that, or I had mentioned to you guys about what your personal, come up with a personal plan, a personal ministry strategy that you would use to reach the world with the gospel. And take just a second and just kind of tell us a little bit about what the plan looks like for Jody.
Well, being my second trip, you know, and knowing now on this trip here, you know, I had that full understanding it's about that spiritual need. So, you know, my plan is to be involved. You know, sitting in here and you know, listening to James preach about the ministry and the missions and stuff like that, it's one thing, but to go down there and see it and actually see it come to life right before your eyes, it just takes a whole different toll on you, I guess you would say. You really begin to understand that spiritual need, and you just want, you know, you can't help but to want to get involved, you know. So, you know, definitely, you know, take the opportunity, get to know missionaries, give the missions, and be a part of it. You know, that's my plan. You know, I've lacked in several different areas, and, you know, I plan on not lacking anymore.
Yeah, well, that's good. You know, we need to have a plan. I think you touched on something really important that I think we need to talk about for just a second. But on Saturday, you had mentioned that after working in the inner city, you had said that modern society has destroyed the family. So in what ways do you think that we need to shift in order to reach the world with the gospel, with that quote on what you said about the modern family being destroyed?
Well, you know, you can blame it on several things. You know, with us, you know, we have all this technical stuff, you know, and it just... It obliterates us from the understanding of what the real need is.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think, you know, we need to try in some way, in which I did on several occasions, I tried to place myself in a position that they were in. And I'm going to be honest with you, I just couldn't do it. I couldn't get to that, you know. And to me, like with the inner city and stuff, you know, they do have a little bit more things and have more access. And, you know, that definitely takes away from the family. Now, when you go out into the village, you know, of course, everything is limited. And, you know, the families, like Brian was saying, they are together more. You know, it's more of a bond and you know, it's more of a true family life. And we just tend to lose sight of that with the way we live.
Yeah, absolutely. So as a way of providing guidance for other people, what would be a next step for you? And maybe just, you know, use it that they can use as advice for their own lives.
Well, I'm just going to take a minute just to read something that just caught my eye yesterday as I was reading. And it's Jesus when he's going into Galilee to be preaching and healing. In Matthew 9:36, it says, "But when he, Jesus, saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd." Now, this is something we definitely see. You know, Kadem touched on the churches and stuff that are in there, in these villages and stuff. Well, you know, some of these churches don't even have pastors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they go there and they pray and do whatever, but, you know, the Bible plainly says, you know, how are they going to hear without a preacher? And this is a true scenario there, you know. So we've got to get in there and reach them. And my advice, I'm going to keep on reading here in verse 37. "Then saith he, Jesus, unto his disciples, the harvest is truly plenteous, but the laborers are few." Take your time and you know, read the Bible, listen to Jane, and develop that desire to want to go and see it come to life. That's my best advice, because once you actually physically see it, you know, it just changes everything.
That's good advice. Thank you, Jody. All right, so I guess maybe we've saved the best for last. So, you know, I was trying to think of some dirt on Ashley, and I don't really have any. But what I can tell you about what happened is that Ashley was a trooper, and she was also very adaptable to lots of different scenarios. I think that she unknowingly learned a lot about culture shock and what culture shock is, and typically culture shock is you don't really know that you're experiencing culture shock until you're talking about it, but you're still not associating it with culture shock. But so the cool thing about Ashley is that Ashley just rolled with the punches regardless of what was going on. She just jumped in and did it. And I can say, you know, without having, like, her on the trip, you know, it's like, what would we have done with all of these kids? She definitely stepped up and just took it and just said, you know what, I'll do it. And she did it. And she did an incredible job. All these guys did an incredible job in what they did. So take just a second and tell us a little bit of some of the reasons why you went on a mission trip, why you wanted to go on a short-term mission trip. Okay.
Well, a couple of years ago, Jody had went on a mission trip, and he had asked me at that time if I wanted to go. And my reply was no, because I did not feel ready, and I did not feel that God, it was my time to go. Well, this time around, I felt like God really laid it on my heart that I needed to go. And I do believe that if it wasn't meant to be, then I wouldn't have been able to go. My finances wouldn't have worked out. I wouldn't have had no one to watch the children. But even though we did come into some roadblocks, everything worked out.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think you learned about yourself on the trip?
About myself, I learned that I go too fast. I need to slow down. I need to take a step back. And I need to get over myself. I need to get over my anxieties and my fears and my discomfort and just step out of my comfort zone. And I've got to do more for people, and I've got to tell them about God more than I do.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, that even when you work with the children, you know, which I think you did an incredible job of that, and just seeing how you, you cared for them, I think for you guys to see it, it's like I can't explain it, but you just have to see it. You know, when you see other people doing ministry and you find out that they're really good at certain things that you didn't know how good they were at, man, that's exciting. I think it's exciting for us because we've got people in this church that have some great abilities that God has given them for the work of the ministry that edifies us. And man, I just thank you guys for being a part of it for sure. You said that one of the biggest things that God taught you on this trip was love for people in physical need. Explain a little bit about some of the physical need and some of the way that God has taught you about what you have and you know here at home.
You want me to cry, don't you? Or the physical needs were plainly seen. Just driving up and down the streets and just getting out. You've seen the children just running around, no shoes. Most of them, they didn't have very good clothing. There was no food that I seen. Their homes were just pretty much little shacks with dirt floors. They were sweeping the dirt because that's what they had. That was their home. So they took care of it. And it just really touched me, first, of their physical needs. And the children were taking care of the children. We seen one baby that's mom had passed away like a few months ago, and it had no milk. So that baby was drinking dirty water mixed with crushed up corn. And it had no nourishment, but it was fulfilling to that child. And I don't remember the other part of the question.
Oh, no, that's okay. Yeah, I mean, the physical need is it's just so huge.
And then the spiritual need. It really hit me when we went up to this one little village that no one had been to. And we gave them out brochures that were in Spanish. And we gave them rice. And we gave just little stuff to the children. We had some hats and things of that sort. But it hit me when these children were speaking to us in a language that we didn't know. It was not Spanish. They were speaking another language of Kachikip. And I was thinking to myself, how are these children going to know the word of God if we're giving them a tract in Spanish and they can't even read it? So that really touched me. And I've been thoroughly praying that God will send someone to that area and to that community that can really work with these children and can understand them and speak their language.
So in light of this trip, how has this shaped your view of ministry here at home?
Ministry is so very important. And if you can't go, you need to give. And if you can't give and you can't go, then pray. Because prayer is what's most important. And that's what really has been shown to me.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that you can see people's heart. And so one thing that you don't realize is just how important it is for us to go and help to meet those felt needs. You know, we should do that. We should care for people. We should love people. But it goes way beyond that. We've got to be meeting their spiritual needs. Thank you so much, Ashley, for sharing. That's awesome. So today we've spent time talking about how this trip to Guatemala, how it was, what we experienced, what we saw, how that this trip has changed lives. And so as we've been talking about the physical versus the spiritual, the physical part of it, when you really think about it, it's kind of like that's the easy part to see. When you look at our government does a good job of sending out humanitarian aid all over the place. Churches have done a good job of sending out humanitarian aid. Does the world need humanitarian aid? To some level. But is my role as a minister of the gospel, which by the way, you've been given the same ministry, is my role simply just to meet the physical need of people? If all I do is meet the physical needs of people, just like you see in the story of the feeding of the 5,000 and so forth, you minister to the physical need, people follow because you're giving them something that they want. But at the end of the day, the real need is the spiritual need. And just to think about this for just a moment, and then we'll be done. Especially from the standpoint of Bob working with a lot of children, which he does have some plans to develop some men to do some more ministry and reach the villages and start churches and all those kinds of things. But specifically with children, when you look at it, you know, you can see those people. And I've got a video that we're going to show here in just a second as we dismiss. You can look into the eyes of those individuals and you know that they're hurting. But one thing I want you to think about is that there are many, many children, not just children, also adults as well, that will spend an eternity separated from God in a place called hell. And as we close out today, I want you to think about that. And I want you to think about your role and your responsibility in that. What can you do to get the gospel to those people? Because they need it. They don't have it available to us like we have it. And so, I don't know if James wants to close that anymore, but just really think about that as you live life, as you go through your work schedule, and just keep the ministry and the mission on your heart.
Awesome, and I hope you guys have enjoyed hearing from the team. I hope as they speak that you can kind of see the heart and see what God's doing in their hearts. Really, man, I rejoice with you just for me because I know you. And, man, it's been so awesome for me to see what God's doing in your heart. Let me ask you, for all of us here, you know, what's going to be your response? You've heard people sit up here and say, you know what, I've heard about missions, and I know I should give, and I know I should pray for them. But, man, when I went and saw, it totally changed me. If you've never been, you ought to go. You may think you don't have a lot of money, but if you got enough money to stop for a candy bar, you're more rich than 97% of planet Earth. You got a lot of money. We just choose to use it in different ways. Maybe God will call you today to say, I'm going to put aside some money so that next year I can go. My spiritual life and God's mission is just that important to me. That's what God's called me to do. Maybe that's you. Maybe you're sitting here today and you say, man, they're talking about giving to missions. Man, I don't really give to missions, and I need to get faithful with that. I need to be involved. Maybe that's it. Maybe you're here today and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, that you're lost and you don't know for sure that you're going to heaven. And you know what? You need to stop worrying about reaching the world. God wants to reach you today. He wants for you to be saved. Would you give him your heart today? Would you give him your life to know that God made you on purpose for a purpose? Let me talk to you guys for a moment. So this trip has been huge for you. Right now, you're on cloud nine. I mean, don't lose what God wants to do. So don't let this be the end, is what I'm saying. You don't let it be a peak that comes back to a valley. Let it be a plateau that you grow from. Those things that God taught you about, whether it's ministry or giving or your family or your relationship with him, live those out. Put some things into action this week so that it doesn't become like you were before you went to Guatemala. Let this be a new you, right? So think about how you can live those things out. Talk to people about how you're going to do that so that you can get some encouragement and accountability. And I'm excited to see what God's going to do. I so rejoice when I see your heart and what God's doing. And man, I'm just looking forward to what he's going to do from here. What you saw when you went to Guatemala is not only did you see the need and know that we have a need here, not of food so much and clothing and electricity and all that stuff, but the spiritual need that they have is the same spiritual need that we have. And God's burdened you to reach that, not just in Guatemala right here. So ask God, what do you want me to do? How is my life going to be different right here in Bartow County? You know, when we talked about, you saw an example from Bob and Tessa of what ministry is like, the sacrifices that they make. But God is asking you to make those same sacrifices right here. So ask him, how can I reach people where I live? How can I make the same sacrifices that they're making? How can I be that all in? How can I be that intentional with my family and with my work and with the opportunities that you've given to me? I want to see God use this to propel you forward, and I think he will do that. For all of us, man, let God work in your heart today. Whatever it is that he's taught them, allow him to teach you, but I can promise you this. People say it all the time. You'll never understand until you go. We can sit up here. We could draw you a picture. We can make you a video. But you guys said it. When you go, it's totally different. So with that in mind, we're going to London in June of 2017. If you're in ministry training, you can go to that. If you're not in ministry training, you can't go to London. Too bad. So sad. So you got to go through personal discipleship, finish that up, and when you get into ministry training, you're going to be sharing the gospel there. That's what you do. Get on the street, and you're meeting people, sharing the gospel. You want to learn how to do that? You want some exercise? You want to see how that fits into this God's plan for evangelism? That'd be an awesome trip for you. We'll go somewhere else, like Guatemala, next year and in the fall. And so maybe that's where God wants you to go. To lift, Jesus said in that passage, lift up your eyes. Look on the fields, for they're white already to harvest. You ought to see it one time. We live in a world that's it's not Apostle Paul days, where you get in a boat and several months later you could be across the ocean. You get in a plane and several tedious hours later, you're on a new continent. You could do that. You can go to London. You can go anywhere. Quick. So I encourage you to be a part of that. Let's pray together and we'll be dismissed. Father, I just love you so much.